This is your friend John Walden from Colorado Springs. Welcome to our studies in the Book of the Revelation. You have the Bible open to chapter 11. We will read from verse 1. There was given me a reed like unto a rod. A reed is a measuring stick. And an angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall lay tread underfoot 42 months. Now we saw in our last study that the 10th chapter of the book of the Revelation is a parenthesis. This parenthesis continues into chapter 11, the first 13 verses. So we're still in the parenthetical part of the story of the Great Tribulation. Now this is what we mean by this. God had the angels blow these seven trumpets. And we saw that seven trumpets remind us of the fall of Jericho in the Old Testament. They stand for judgment. God is going to judge this world. There is a period of 7 years ahead. We usually refer to the whole 7 years as the 70th week of Daniel, or the Great Tribulation. Actually, the first half of that is called the beginning of sorrows, and the last 3.5 years, properly, is the Great Tribulation. The church is taken to heaven before this begins, and from the 4th chapter of Revelation in verse 1 on, we have the story of the things that will happen when God brings Israel back into the land and judges them in what is called the Day of Jacob's Trouble. Now during this time, the Lord has a witness to himself. He is preparing a people here on earth, the Jews who refuse the Antichrist and who stand faithful to the Lord. They're not part of the church. They're not saved before the Lord comes and takes the church away. But they will reject the Antichrist, and they will realize that the Lord Jesus was really their Messiah, and 144,000 of these are sealed. And these witnesses are left here for the Lord during that terrible period of time. Now when John was told about the measuring of this temple, or permitted to see the measuring of this temple, I'm sure that his thoughts would go back, because he knew the Old Testament scriptures. They would go back to Zechariah 2 and Ezekiel 40, where the Lord told them to measure the temple, measure the court, measure the city. And of course, whenever God measures things, he is marking off the things that belong to him. When we come to chapter 21, we'll see the measuring again. This, of course, has to do with Israel, too, because all numbers and measures have to do with Israel and not with the church. Now, we're told that he was not to measure the court of the temple. Now, the court of the temple is where the Gentiles were permitted to come. And he said that the holy city should be trod underfoot 42 months. That's 3.5 years. So he didn't measure that. This marks it out as something that happens during the 3.5 years, or the Great Tribulation. God is getting ready, however, for the millennium, and that's why he is marking these things off. Now he has his witnesses here, and so he says in verse 3, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. That's another way of saying 3.5 years. Clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now we find this in Zechariah chapter 4, if you want to read it, you have time. Zechariah 4 and verse 3 is quoted here. And very plainly, there, he means that the priest and the prophet, the priesthood and the prophetic ministry, are the means of keeping the light burning. These two candlesticks were kept burning because there were two olive trees connected to them. Now, of course, the oil for the lamp came from the olive trees. This was just a way of saying that God keeps the light of his testimony burning in Israel and by these two, the priesthood and the prophetic ministry. Now, two is always the number of testimony. It could be that these two witnesses that he's telling about here simply is a way of saying that he will have witnesses on the earth. Or they may be literal persons. We don't know. We do know the character of these people. Very plainly this is brought out. They shall be like Elijah and Moses. The things that are said about them were things that were said of Moses and Elijah in the Old Testament. The character of the men. Now this could be the character of two particular individuals, or it could be the character of the whole witness for God among his earthly people during that coming day. In any case, these people witness for the Lord until they are put to death. Now they witness for 3.5 years, and then their dead bodies are said to lie in the street for 3.5 days, which is another way of saying 3.5 years. So it would seem that their public witness for the Lord takes place the first half of the 7 years, and then their martyrdom the second half. Anyway, these people are martyred for the Lord, and we're told in verse 10, they that dwell upon the earth. This is one of the many times in the book of the Revelation that these earth dwellers, it's really one word or phrase, are mentioned. Earth dwellers are people who are tied to this earth. I wonder what you are. Are you an earth dweller? Is this world your home? There's a popular Christian song that says, "This world is not my own. I'm just a passing through." Is this world your home? Or are you passing through? If heaven is your home, let me congratulate you. That's a wonderful fatherland. That's a wonderful homeland. And we're on our way there. Well, anyway, the people who live on this earth, or the earth dwellers, will rejoice over the death of these martyrs and make merry and send gifts to one another because they're so pleased that there's no one now to tell them about God. Someone said one time, "Is there no place I can go to get away from these Christians?" And another person jokingly remarked, "Yes, in hell." If I speak to someone today who is disturbed because people are constantly reminding you of the Savior and of your responsibility to him, just be glad that somebody cares enough to tell you about the Savior. And be glad you don't live in a time when there is no longer any witness, and when the joy among the wicked because the witness is ended. However, these who die for the Lord are resurrected. Undoubtedly, this is a part of the first resurrection, because we're told, "Blessed and holy are they that have part in the first resurrection." The first resurrection really began with the resurrection of Christ. In the Old Testament, there was a feast called the Feast of First Fruits, and this is a picture of the resurrection. The Lord Jesus is the first sheaf of the resurrection, and then there's the main harvest, which will take place when the Lord Jesus comes back. And all who have died in Christ will be raised first, and we shall be changed and caught up together. And then there's the gleaning of the harvest that takes place at this time, when those who have trusted the Savior during the tribulation and die for him are resurrected, and they're caught up to heaven. They ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies were allowed to see them. Immediately there was a great earthquake. A tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. The remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Whether there was any real impression made upon them, of course we can't say. But we do know that it made a tremendous impression upon them as to their feelings. They realized this thing is of God. I wonder how you feel when you hear about the Christians all being taken away. Am I speaking to some child of Christian parents just now? You'll be left behind and your parents will be gone. How will you feel? At verse 14, the second woe was passed, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly, and the seventh angel sounded. Now, he resumes the sounding of these trumpets, and this one brings in the millennial kingdom. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And then there is worship by those in heaven, the giving of thanks to God, by a contrast between these who dwell on the earth. And he said that nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them that destroy the earth. In other words, the time has come for the Lord to assume his throne. The time has come for the Lord to take over the kingdoms of men. Now there are a great many boasts among the Gentiles as to what they're going to do, but the Lord says he's going to overturn until he comes whose right it is to reign. The Gentiles have no right to this world, but our Lord Jesus does. One of these days he's going to come back. He's going to set up his kingdom here on this earth. He's going to reign in righteousness. He's going to set everything right. When he does that, I wonder, will you be on his side because you've accepted him as your Savior now? If so, congratulations, brother and sister. There are happy days ahead for our Savior, happy days for his people. But if you're on the wrong side, if you have not yet received the Lord Jesus, there are sad days ahead, and I beg of you to think seriously. Don't turn away from the Savior. Our Father, we ask you to bless thy word to all who have listened. We pray again that those who have rejected Christ might realize what a serious thing it is to have to face him as a judge. Bless thy dear children, and keep us witnessing for thee and looking for the soon return of our Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.